I found that song and I wanted someone to do it, and so Stephen and the girls decided they would do it for me if I bought the slushy at Irving's. It was a beautiful fall day. My two brothers and I decided to head out to the lake as soon as we could get away from work to have a sail. The weather was sunny and warm, with the shoreline painted with reds and oranges and greens. The wind was blowing in the perfect direction to take us to the far end of the lake on one tack and then back, not the usual direction of the wind. For anyone who sails or kayaks or canoes, you know that feeling of peace. It is a renewal of one's soul, the perfect way to appreciate God's gift of creation. When I read today's scripture, I couldn't help but envision Jesus heading out in the water, perhaps feeling the breath of a light wind, heading off with his disciples to find the perfect spot, away from the crowds, to relax, to rest, to renew one's soul. Two perfect images, both, however, interrupted by the unexpected. For us, the wind went down with the sun. No wind, no movement. For Jesus, the crowds gathered. Let us pray. O Holy One, as we sit and ponder the words that we've heard and will hear, speak to us. In the sound of the water, in the blowing of the wind, in the listening of the scriptures, in the beating of our hearts, in the stirring of our spirit, speak to us this day. Amen. I once read a quote from a well-known author, and it said, "Too often we underestimate the power of a touch, a smile, a kind word, a listening ear, an honest compliment, or the smallest act of caring, all of which has the potential to turn a life around." Jesus saw a great crowd and had compassion for them. Wherever he went, they begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. Our text this morning is actually two smaller texts put together. They are the verses immediately preceding and following two miracle stories, the feeding of 5,000 and the walking on the water. On most occasions, these texts are seen as an introduction and a conclusion. But today, the lectionary calls our attention specifically to them, and for good reason, as they reveal to us once again that heartfelt compassion of Jesus. Mark's gospel is the shortest gospel. He takes no time to talk about the birth narrative or genealogy. And for many people, it simply means, if it's a story in the Gospel of Mark, it must be important, and it should be carefully listened to. It's a wonderful way to begin our service today, is to listen to those words. I read this week about a movie fan, and when he was talking about this, he said, "You know, in any movie that I see, it isn't the flashy scenes that contain the real heart of the movie. It is what goes on between the scenes. Those moments show us the heartbeat of the movie." This morning's reading shows us the heartbeat of Jesus. It isn't the flashy miracle stories, but the real heart of Jesus, a heart filled with such compassion. It is true, in this particular story, Jesus acted on the spur of the moment, but he acted on the spur of the moment because of his compassion. And that changed the direction for the day. Being a lover of great stories, I read a lot of them. I read a story a few years ago now about a grandmother, Margarita. Margarita lives in a small community in Ecuador. and she's raising four grandchildren. The mother had died in childbirth, and the father was killed in a car accident. She struggles. She struggled to care for them while living in an old, dilapidated two-room home with a dirt floor. Seven people stuffed into two rooms, an outdoor kitchen, no running water or proper bathroom. In the next village, a hard-working community, there was an ecumenical group who would reach out to families in need within that community. They would award educational scholarships. They would support various projects to improve their community. The people in this village were not rich, but they worked tirelessly to make enough income to feed and shelter and educate their children. What they lacked in financial resources, they made up in their willingness to work hard and to work together. When someone in their village was in need, they would gather around and support them. Each year, they would award this scholarship. And so the time had come to decide who it would be given to. When they held their meeting, the group was asked if they had determined who in the community should be the recipient of this year's educational scholarship. The group glanced at each other, and then they told them that they had discussed the possibilities, and they decided the scholarship should go to a grandmother named Margarita struggling to raise her four orphaned grandsons in the next village. Their compassion for this woman and for her family touched the hearts of everyone. What started as an educational scholarship for four boys turned into a full-scale service project supported by the entire community. One act of compassion created a landslide of kind acts. A local soccer team committed themselves to help improve the quality of life for this grandmother and her grandsons. They pooled all of their resources and, together with many additional volunteers, actually built Margarita a new house. Four rooms, a floor, a hot water shower, indoor kitchen, and a bathroom. They even constructed pens and helped Margarita purchase some chickens and guinea pigs so that she would have a source of income. The generosity of this community to help one another, in spite of the struggles they had within their own community, is a powerful example of how compassion can help us create justice in this world. When I heard this story, I immediately thought of Stephen Lewis's Grandmothers Helping Grandmothers, such an amazing campaign that many of you are members of or have supported. Like grandmothers around the world, the African grandmothers are central to the life of their community. With almost no support, they stepped forward to care for millions of children orphaned by AIDS, sometimes as many as 10 or 15 in one household. They displayed amazingly reserves of love, of compassion, of courage, and of inner strength, even while grieving the loss of their own adult children. Canadians have raised more than $24 million for these grandmothers through this campaign, money which is invested directly into their community, providing grandmothers and the children under their care with so many things that they could not even have dreamed or imagined. Food, educational supplies, school fees, medical care, housing, the list goes on. Such wonderful signs of compassion. That evening, as my brother and I watched the sun set and the wind died, we were not worried, for we had a small engine. We sat and we talked about the world, the universe. We felt the peacefulness of the moment. It was good, but we soon discovered that the motor we had no gas. But that's a whole other story. That day, when Jesus' plan was to bring much-needed rest to his disciples, It changed. That plan changed in an instant when he saw what he would describe as sheep without a shepherd. He let go of the peacefulness of the still waters. He let go of the Sabbath moments that he had planned, and he stepped ashore filled with that compassion. When the late Henry Nouwen, priest and theologian, came to teach at Notre Dame, he was surprised at the way the professors kept leaving their doors wide open. "Aren't you constantly interrupted? How do you ever get your work done?" he asked. And they responded, "Your interruptions are your work." A journey of faith is not simply lived or experienced as one monumental highlight after another, but more often in the quiet in-between moments, the everyday moments. A village reaches out to the next village to help a family. Grandmothers reach across an ocean to help other grandmothers. On a quiet sail across the waters to find rest, Jesus stops to help a crowd. We live in a world that needs to be reminded of the importance of living with compassion, of the power of compassion. Jesus' compassion for the crowd is not just about a very good man who lived 2,000 years ago. This is about an eternal, timeless truth. This is about what we are being called to do as dwellers of this world. Karen Armstrong, a British author, has spent many years studying the commonalities of the major religions in the world. One commonality is compassion. And she wrote, "We urgently need to make compassion a clear and dynamic force in our polarized world. Compassion can break down political and religious boundaries. And it is essential. It is essential for a just and peaceful global community to do just that." As Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd and had compassion on them. And they begged to simply touch the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. Thanks be to God. I'm going to invite the choir to stand when it's time, and I'm going to invite you to remain seated with your thoughts about compassion as we sing together, Voices United 563, "Jesus, You Have Come."